SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back a little past top of 11. Going to be about, 25 minutes or so. We'll lead you up to the live stream. If you want to watch it yourself, you can go to BreedersCup.com, right on their front page. They rotates, but click on the pre-entries live stream. Starts 11:30. Facebook, they've got their Facebook Breeders' Cup page as well. You can watch there. And then there's also actually, and I've not utilized this, but there's also the Google, was it Google Play case? I think. Google, iTunes, and Google Play. It says so. Lots of options. First order, option. The Breeders' Cup website, but there's also a mobile. There's some mobile access as well. All right, you got lots of spots. Seth Merrow is going to join us when at some point here, and I did not make any particular alternate arrangements, so we're at his disposal. We gave you the race order. I'll do a screen save of that and send that out so that you've got that access. And other than that, quick note, yesterday, the second day of the fall yearling sale, Fasig Tipton, American Pharoah, as Seth likes to say, lifts all boats. That's a Seth Merrowism. American Pharoah yesterday, $310,000 was the session topper. You had a pair of $300,000 plus sellers. You had the Ontario bred American Pharoah for $310,000 that the Zayats bought. And then later, the American Pharoah bred by, and that one was bred by Christine Hayden and Peter O'Callaghan consigned. The other Pharoah for $300,000 out of Dance in the Sunlight, bred by Pursuit of Success and consigned by Denali, Alistair Roden Bloodstock. You had another your third highest price of the day, a Violence Colt to Rick Porter. This one, an Illinois bred. Dana Weyer Thoroughbreds, Ricky Higgs consigned. And I saw that Higgs was delighted with that price. He thought that was higher than they were anticipating. The highest filly of the day was a Liam's Map that Bauman Stables with Dr. Soans and Dr. Crawford. They bred, Lane's End consigned, and West Bloodstock, Jacob West for Bob and Luana Lowe. $225,000, the highest filly. There was also a $200,000 City Zip that Nick Demerick bought. This also an Ontario bred. It's funny, those numbers from the report of Mayor's Bread, Ontario is down quite a bit, and this is the probably the tail end effect of what happened a few years ago, when there was real uncertainty as to what was going to be happening with the the slots program and the way in which the lottery division and everything that went on with Ontario, the province, provincial government. And, you know, when there's that kind of uncertainty, and we had that in New York too, when you have that kind of uncertainty, breeders, they don't panic, but they have to make alternate plans. And so then you have, you know, then you've got the tail end effect, year, 2 years later. But Ontario, I saw their numbers were down, but here's a couple of nice Ontario breads on day two of the fall yearling sale. So two more days, today and tomorrow, and then everything turns toward Breeders' Cup and the post-Breeders' Cup, of course, the November sales that some big-ticket broodmares. Seth Barrow joins us. Good morning. Seth, hold on. The line's all distorted. Casey, if you would call him back, if you would. We'll get Seth back, and not the easiest of days with the phone. So we'll try that again. We'll be heading down to Belmont today, actually, as well. Going to go down and get the race and got a couple of things we got to take care of down in New York. So we'll leave after the show. We'll try Seth again. Seth.
Better? Yes? No?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Seems like it.
All right. Yeah, you were talking about the sale and somebody was happy with the price their horse got. It'd be kind of fun. Nobody would want to do it because you want to keep things close to the vest. But if you get everybody to kind of put in an envelope what they expected their horse to get, and then after the sale, see how that worked out.
Well, speaking of trying something different, I did see that another attempt at the Gallup. Kip Elser is going to try another set of 2-year-olds in training using the Gallup method. He and his partner were satisfied with their attempt last year, where they were not going to frazzle the 2-year-olds, and they were active yesterday and the first couple of days here. So they're gonna stick with that concept.
Yeah, and as you say, it's been tried in the past. I'm not sure what the success level was, but if they were happy with it, go for it. I get mixed. I'm not a breeder or an owner, but just from what I read, I guess I have mixed feelings about it. You read about the 2-year-olds when they're out there racing that actually builds and models the bones, but I get the other side of the equation, too, when I read about that. So my feeling is if they want to try it, go for it.
You know, they're being trained. They're just not being.
Yeah, sure.
It's not being asked to go, 10 flat, and which seems like an undue pressure on an early season 2-year-old. I mean, they have to be raced. I mean, that discussion we've had many times, and. There's no doubt that's putting training stress and racing on a two-year-old helps assure longevity and good health and soundness. But you know, the idea, you know, the Gallup idea, the Adena team, you know, they tried it. But it's good to, it's good that Kip is, and I think there's been some early success. I think at least there were at least during the summer. I think Kip alerted me to a couple of those that that they had handled that were early winners too. So. You know, obviously tracking and you know, that's the best way to that's the best advertising for the concept is for those horses to go on and do well.
Yeah, and the horse racing game is you see it in a lot of areas of the game. There is a kind of follow the leader mentality often, and so if somebody tries this and has that success, and the horses come out of these sales and go on to be successful on the racetrack, you'll get more and more people doing it as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now 15 minutes or so, Seth, away from the pre-entries and everybody getting an opportunity to look at the fields and you know have a early decision-making in terms of what to expect. Some thoughts here as we wait for the announcements.
It was fun that Enable made the announcement that they'll take a go at it. I'm skeptical because I think she's super talented. I thought her win in the arc, given the scenario, was great, but they were pointing towards the arc, and so this is now kind of an afterthought. So I wonder if she's not maybe a little bit of a bet against when she comes over. Although that's one of those that for me, she's a great story. So you root for her, maybe bet against her, but she's a great addition. And coming this past weekend, Roaring Lion won on Champions Day, and I guess they're still kind of trying to decide there. So we'll potentially get another very nice European coming over. And as I say, they always have nice storylines. And then, as always for me, I think Friday's going to be fun because I think we have some two-year-olds with potential, and maybe they'll kind of define themselves and validate what we've seen so far. And that, of course, sets up the three-year-old season, and the three-year-old crop this year kind of fell apart. So it all starts again with the Breeders' Cup juvenile races and then the turn of the calendar, and we'll see how the three-year-olds shake out this coming January. But I do think so far the juveniles have a little bit of potential. And then it's going to be fun to see Sprint Division. I think they're, you know, a horse like Imperial Hint kind of stands out. See what Mind Your Biscuits decides to do, and on the you know the classic side, it's going to be fun to see what shakes out in a year where really the older division wasn't super, and as I say, the three-year-old division kind of fell apart a little bit. So it's going to be fun to see what the field shapes up to be and how that is actually going to shake out and potentially play into some Eclipse Awards at the end of the year in both the three-year-old and the older division, possibly, as to who winds up in there.
Well, the three-year-olds are wrapped up.
Yeah, no, you're right. Three-year-olds are wrapped up. So the older division. But I guess I'm thinking like into next year who's going to play into the older division. You're right. The three-year-old is completely wrapped up.
The Enable. See, it's funny you gravitated to the Enable question, because to me it's not so much a preparedness issue, because you know she did miss time and if anything she you've got to assume that she's going to be just that much fitter after having missed a little bit just enough that that they were a little edgy, Gosden and company. But then when she gutted out the arc win, we're still looking for an arc winner that wins the Breeders' Cup turf. I mean, there's horses that have participated in the arc that have won races, but no arc winner has won this race. And that, that continues to be the one of the great hoodoos of the Breeders' Cup. It's kind of amazing.
And I think it is one of those things that as I say with the Enable, she was pointed towards that, and the the Breeders' Cup comes as an afterthought, and I think that's the case with a lot of these ARC winners who come over. You're aiming for the ARC, and then they win the ARC, and it's like, well, you know, why not go over and take our shot? And I think we see situations like that often during the year. Trainers and connections kind of changing up plans. Well, you know what? This worked out. Let's go. And more often than not, it seems like it doesn't work out necessarily. Not that it can't, and not that it doesn't. Just it seems maybe more often than not, it doesn't. So that's why I'm a little bit skeptical of her. But certainly, as I say, she's a great storyline with that talent. And now with the two under the belt, maybe she does move forward. Who knows? Maybe this will be the kind of the breakout performance. But that's another good storyline for the 2 days.
Have you tracked I'm not asking you to give away secrets here before things come into focus, but one of the fun things about Breeders' Cup is you can track horses that you pick up over the course of the year, and then they make it to Cup, and it you know you feel like you've got a secret that you've been sitting on.
I think I have done that in years past. This year I don't have anybody like that. This year I don't have. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. And in years past, I have had horses where you come into the Breeders' Cup and you've got one that you've been following a little bit, and maybe even better, you've been following and in the last race with an okay sneaky third. But yeah, I don't have one. I'm not sitting on one this year like that.
Well, we've got no shortage of horses to get familiar with, and that's one of the real challenges of this. You know, we've talked about this, that when the event first came around, you literally knew, the PPs of every horse that was running, and that's gotten so much harder with the proliferation of the races, and with 14 this year, and they say we'll get numbers shortly here, 10 minutes away or so, but with every year there's a new record of entrants, and particularly with the Euros and now adding this juvenile turf sprint, and it gets harder and harder to really have a handle on everybody that's going to run. And that I've said for years that's what has made for the some of the just gigantic payoffs, because there's horses that no matter how well you handicapped, you just either glossed over them or didn't really necessarily, especially with some of the European obscurities, you didn't necessarily know what they what they came in with, how loaded the wagon was.
Yeah, and that's been the case, just as you say, going back to the beginning. I mean, the beauty of the betting side of it and why things are wide open, you get horses coming in from different venues. You get jockeys and trainers coming in, as opposed to the circuit you normally follow, whether it's New York or Florida in the wintertime or Southern California, wherever. Typically, most of the horses on any given day in any given race, you're kind of familiar with, and certainly familiar with the jockeys and the trainers. But on a day like Breeders' Cup, and it happens on big days, Kentucky Derby weekend, for instance, and really up at Saratoga, it can kind of be the entire meet. But when you bring in fresh faces and horses that you haven't seen before, you don't know. Are they going to like the track, not like the track? Will they freak over the track or go in the other direction? How are the jockeys going to handle it who maybe haven't ridden at this track at all or at least a few times? And so it just adds a whole new level of unknowns to the handicapping puzzle, and that's exactly why you have the opportunity to get the big payoffs.
Seth, got to give you a chance before I get too far along and we turn things over to the Breeders' Cup draw. Some thoughts about Rick Violette, who of course we had a nice visit with after the Whitney, and you must have had him on many times over the years.
Yeah, I tweeted out the link, and I have it over on Equidaily too. If folks want to see the Loose on the Lead, we did the day after the Whitney win. That was certainly a nice interview we did with them, and you know, I mean, the day after the Whitney win by Diversify, it was obviously meant a lot to him. And it, with the freakish circumstances, it was a fun conversation. The rainstorm that had the delay, and then of course the rainbow comes out afterwards. And as I say, it was a fun conversation. As if people want to see it, they can go to Equidaily and link to that via the Capital OTV YouTube channel. But as you say, I talked to him by phone and had him on the weekly show over the years when we were up at Saratoga. Always liked to talk to him. I mean, A, he was just an intelligent guy to talk to, but B, he was intelligent about the game. He knew the game inside and out and was passionate about it. And I agree and put my two cents into everything I read about him this week that said, because the guy not only cared about the game, cared about all the people in the game. And so that's what he was pushing for. And the horses. So he pushed for aftercare for the horses. But, you know, the backstretch people, the trainers, he was always looking out for the people who make the game happen on the backside. And that was certainly a passion of his. And he was a potent leader in getting those kind of things done. And as you read about him over the past few days and people in the industry talking about him, that really came to the forefront. But he not only did that, he was a trainer at the top level of the game with, you know, multiple graded stakes winners that if you go down the list, a bunch of names we're all familiar with over the years, capped most recently, of course, by Diversify and that nice win in the Whitney, the grade one up at Saratoga, to kind of put a nice exclamation point on the career before he passed away. It was sad news, but again, people can go back and pick up some of the interviews and catch a little bit of Rick Violet over the years if they want to, because he was a guy. He was certainly a name not just in New York, but a name in the game nationally as a leader, both on the front and the backside.
Nice. And I just pulled up the the video clip, and I'll probably kind of do cut out of it to put up with today's listing. And I'm just watching the beginning, Seth, and I'm making you laugh, and Rick is smiling, and it just, you know, we've had a nice parade this week of everybody that, you know, there's only nice things to say, and it's just hard to believe that, you know, it feels like you just kind of snatched from everybody here. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we all knew he had been fighting the illness and the cancer, but still it came, you know, that's been, I saw Dick, in fact, I'll direct everybody, yesterday we directed everybody to Charlie Haywood's piece. Dick Powell wrote a very nice piece as well, and that's up at BrizNet and in the Twin Spires blogs.
Yeah, Charlie's piece I read, Dick's, I haven't read yet. I have a link to Charlie's also, but I'll link to Dick's as well. But, you know, you said everybody had nice things to say because he was that kind of guy. He was just, you know, he was fun to talk to and always had a smile on his face. And, again, had good horses and was looking out for people all over the racetrack. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, very much. Well, Seth, we're going to step away shortly and then come back and fill out the rest of the show with the Breeders' Cup. And
let me toss one out today.
Yeah.
There's an interesting one, I think, in the seventh race, maiden special. Blonde Moment by Jimmy Creed. Had a little trouble in the career debut. Went off at 4-1, going 10-1 today. But by Jimmy Creed, I like that. It's a win early sire. And the dam produced a couple of win early runners as well. Had some trouble at the start, but I think was legitimate. So we'll see. In the seventh race, number 7, Blonde Moment at 10-1. We'll see if that one can get it done.
Good deal. Good job. And of course,
and I'm rooting for rain overnight so you get in. How can we have all this rain and you have these MTOs and yours don't get in?
Well, frankly, You mean for Carlisle Bell or?
Yeah. But then we're gonna
wait. Well, yeah, we had two come off the turf Saturday and Sunday. Corporal Magdalena should be able today. She'll run today on the turf, but Bell's going to re-enter for Saturday MTO. There's a longer route, mile and a 16th for Saturday that I would rather be in than the 6 furlongs. But the horse that can't get couldn't get lucky, Kid Chocolate, came off the turf the other day, and we were excited because actually there was a mile and a 16th that came back for tomorrow and ends up on the AE list. He ended up on the 15th, out in the 15th. So he's not going to get in tomorrow either. So we're going to have to re-enter again. The good news is, for those of us in New York that have been enduring this weather, the double turf course at Aqueduct will be pristine, will be in tremendous shape. So if the weather relents at all for November, there'll be a ton of turf racing. Let's just hope it doesn't get too cold too quickly and that this rain would let up. I mean, it's been ridiculous.
Yeah, since Saratoga, but yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed. I haven't even thought about that, the new turf at Aqueduct. Yeah, will play out. So hopefully, yeah, nice warm November, and maybe we'll get a week in December. Who knows? That's happened before.
Oh, absolutely. It would be welcome for everybody that's sitting on turf horses. Seth, we're just about ready for this to get going for Breeders' Cup, and we're going to listen into the pre-entries as they are announced. So we will talk to you from Louisville next week.
Sounds good. Good luck to everybody today.
Seth Merrow. Let's take a break. You follow Seth on Twitter, SethMerrow2, and, of course, EquiDaily.com and Capital OTB. Take a break. Last of the morning, come back and tune in to Caton Bradar and Joe Kristofek after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Breeders' Cup is just around the corner, and ExpressBet is your way to bet the top prep races from around the world. Santa Anita, Keeneland, Belmont, Woodbine, ExpressBet has them all. And not only can you get your bets in online or on your smartphone or tablet with ExpressBet, you can also watch the races from most tracks in crystal clear high definition. Ready to get started? Sign up for an ExpressBet account today to receive a $500 welcome bonus. That's $500 cash in your pocket that you can use to bet the Breeders' Cup. Visit ExpressBet.com to get started. Think you have what it takes to play in the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge and win your share of $1 million in prizes? Then head to ExpressBet to register. The BCBC is the country's biggest live handicapping tournament with ExpressBet. You can get in on the action without leaving home. Don't have an ExpressBet account? No worries. Sign up today and receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. When prohibited, National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
There's more good news about Pennsylvania's breeding program. Last year, the number of state-bred live foals rose by nearly 30%. Many other states saw a drop of between 10 and 20%. This says that Pennsylvania truly has North America's fastest-growing and most lucrative breeding program. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at pabred.com.
to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Back and just getting going at Churchill. There's Kevin Flannery, and he's going to tell you how wonderful everything is at for Breeders' Cup 2018. The introductory comments. You should probably get some Craig Frable in here as well. And Case, you in good shape?
Internationally and domestically.
There we go.
East Coast, West Coast, South, Europe, all of the great horses come here to compete on what we think is one of the great platforms for great fair contests. So we're looking forward to it. We want to thank the city of Louisville as well. I hope everybody, when you come into town, see all of the great changes that have happened at the racetrack and around this city since 2011, the last time we hosted the Breeders' Cup Championships. Let's have some great racing. Let's have a great week. Thanks.
So those gentlemen got to do a lot of the fun stuff, and we have more of that coming up with the announcement of the fields. But first, some really important information. Breeders' Cup pre-entry is the first stage of a two-entry process. This past Monday, all owners intending to start horses in the World Championships were required to make half of the payment of their total entry fees for their designated Breeders' Cup race or races. Now, the second payment to start their horse or horses is due at the time of entry. That's Monday, October 29th at 10 a.m. prior to the post-position draw. A maximum of 14 starters are allowed in each of the Breeders' Cup World Championship races, with the exception of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. That one's limited to 12 starters. Now, if 14 or less were pre-entered in a Breeders' Cup race, then all start, with the exception of the horses that have been pre-entered in another race. The connection of those horses that have been cross-entered can make their official designations at the time of entry. So how are the fields set today? Breeders' Cup Limited has adopted a field selection system to select runners in the event fields are oversubscribed. Now this year there are 12 oversubscribed races of the 14. The selection system ranked the first seven horses, or six horses in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, in each field based on two categories. First, Breeders' Cup Challenge race winners. Win and you're in. Then secondly, the highest point earners in North American graded stakes since the beginning of the year. In oversubscribed races, the Breeders' Cup Racing Directors and Secretaries panel then ranked the remaining horses to complete the main body of the field. A preference order was established beginning with the 15th horse on the list or the 13th horse in the case of the Juvenile Turf Sprint. Now, after pre-entry, any vacancies in the fields will be filled by horses in order of panel preferences until the entries are taken next Monday. It'll make sense as we go through the fields in the oversubscribed races, but the horses in the top 14, or in the case of the Juvenile Turf Sprint, the top 12, are listed in alphabetical order. Then we'll identify for you on the screen which horses qualified automatically in those 14 races. Now, there are several instances where horses have been pre-entered in more than one Breeders' Cup race. We're just going to identify the first preferences for you. Finally, some pretty impressive numbers to take note of. A record 221 horses pre-entered for this year's Breeders' Cup. Among the individual leaders, Aidan O'Brien leads all trainers with 18 horses pre-entered. The Coolmore Partnerships are the leading owners with 20 horses pre-entered. So there's great international representation, to be sure. Let's begin with the pre-entered fields now for the 35th Breeders' Cup World Championships in official race order. Joe's going to begin with Friday, the $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. That'll be the first of our Breeders' Cup races on Future Stars Friday.
All right, here we go. Let's get rolling. Future Stars Friday. This is a new addition to the Breeders' Cup process this year. Five juvenile races all on Friday. First post will be at 12:55 Eastern Time, the first Breeders' Cup race, 3:21 Eastern Daylight Time. Again, all juveniles on Future Stars Friday, led by the inaugural running of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint is a 5 1/2 furlong turf race for 2-year-olds to be run on the turf. The race carries a guaranteed purse of $1 million, including travel awards, and the horses that are pre-entered. Let's take a look at them right now. And we're going to start with Bulletin. Next, we have a Breeders' Cup Challenge winner in It's Gonna Hurt, Pocket Dynamo, Queen of Bermuda, Sergei Prokofiev, Shang, one of six horses pre-entered by Wesley Ward in this particular race, broke the maiden at Keeneland back in April, traveled to Royal Ascot to win the Group 2 Norfolk in June. Next, It's So Perfect, Soldier's Call, Stillwater Cove, Strike Silver, who is a Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, also Uncle Benny, a Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, and Well Done Fox. Now, not selected into the field and listed in order of preference by Breeders' Cup racing directors and the secretaries panel are the following 15 horses: Chelsea Clysters, Moonlight Romance, Big Drink of Water, Comedy, Van Beethoven, Legends of War, Stellar Agent, Whooping Jay, May Never Know, Back to His Roots, Never Know More, Tracksmith, Dragic, Order and Law, Sovereign and Impact, and All About It. Now, these following horses have first preferences in other races. Uncle Benny is a first preference in the Juvenile Turf. Stellar Agent has a first preference in the Juvenile Phillies Turf. Tracksmith has a first preference in the Juvenile Turf. And Order and Law has a first preference in the Juvenile Turf. Okay, next up, we're going to take a look at the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies Turf. This will be the sixth race on the program. This race carries a guaranteed purse of $1 million, including travel awards. And it is, of course, for two-year-old fillies to be run on the turf. Horses that are pre-entered in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies Turf are Bellora, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Concrete Rose, East, Hermosa, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Just Wonderful, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner La Pelosa, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Lily's Candle, My Gal Betty, who earned her way in based on points, the qualification system there, Newspaper of Record also earned the qualification based on points. Trainer Chad Brown has won this race four times in three of the last four, including 2017 with Rushing Fall. Also earning their way in based on points, Paquette. Next in line, So Perfect, Summering, The Mac'em Bullet, and Varenka. Not selected into the field and listed in order of preference by the Breeders' Cup Racing Directors and Secretaries panel are Stellar Agent, Lady Prancelot, Pivotina, Princessa Carolina, and Winning Envelope. A couple of horses on the preference list. So Perfect has first preference in the Juvenile Turf Sprint. Okay, let's take a look next at the Tito's Handmade Vodka Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. This race is for 2-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th on dirt. It carries a guaranteed purse of $2 million plus travel awards, and horses pre-entered in the Tito's Handmade Vodka Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies are Baby Nina, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Bella Fina, who has won three graded stakes in a row in Southern California, Cassie's Dreamer, Cookie Dough, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Jaywalk, Reflect, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Restless Rider, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Serengeti Empress, who won the Grade 2 Pocahontas right here at Churchill Downs by 19 and a half lengths. Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, Sipican Harbor. Splashy Kisses and Vibrance. Total horses in that race are 11. We'll welcome Kate and Bradar back up to the podium here to take us through some of the other races, starting with the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Caden?
Of course, won last year by our overseas invader, Mendelssohn. Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf drew 22 pre-entries this year. 1 mile race for 2-year-old colts and geldings on the turf with a guaranteed purse of $1 million plus or including travel awards. The field will be limited to 14 plus two also eligibles. Pre-entries, Anthony Van Dyke for the same team looking for a repeat. Arthur Kitt, Broom, also for Aidan O'Brien, Tabor, Eric Smith, and John Magnier. A win and you're in entrant, Current, for the Todd Pletcher barn. Clips Thoroughbred Partners, Bob LaPenta, and Dixiana Farms. This one won his way in with an exciting finish in the Dixiana Bourbon. Qualifying based on points is 40 under. Next, Henley's Joy, King of Speed, Line of Duty, Marie's Diamond, Opry, who qualified based on points, as did Some Like It Hot Brown, the French bred The Black Album, Uncle Benny, War of Will, who also qualified based on points, and not selected into the field, but listed in order of preference by the Breeders' Cup Racing Directors and Secretaries panel. Number 15, Much Better. 16, Louder Than Bombs. 17, Bulletin. 18, Tracksmith. 19, Order and Law. 20, Flying Scotsman. 21, Empire of War. And 22, Pico Entry. A number of horses cross-entered. Bulletin has first preference in the juvenile turf sprint. Next up, the ninth race on the card Friday, approximate post time 6:05, is the Sentient Jet Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Mile and a 16th grade one for 2-year-old colts and geldings. 15 pre-entered. Race carries a guaranteed purse of $2 million. Of course, good magic capturing this one so spectacularly and giving us thrills throughout much of the Triple Crown season and 2018. Those pre-entered start with Code of Honor, qualified on points. Win and You're In entrant Complexity for Chad Brown, winner of the Champagne Stakes, 2 for 2 this year. Dueling. Win and You're In entrant Game Winner for Bob Baffert. Gary and Mary West's runner is 3 for 3 this year, winner of the Del Mar Futurity and the American Pharaoh. Qualifying on points, Gunmetal Gray. Local hero, Win and You're In pre-entrant Nix Go captured the Breeders' Futurity at odds of 70 to 1. Qualifying on points, Mind Control. Mr. Money. Qualifying on points, Signal Man. Standard Deviation. Tight 10. Topper T. Trophy Chaser. And coming in from Florida, Well Defined for Kathleen O'Connell. Now, not selected into the field, in order of preference, just one, number 15, Derby Date. Next up, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. This one was a long shot surprise horse, the biggest in the history of the race, 135.40. That was Bar of Gold. The Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, a 7-furlong race for 3-year-olds and up, fillies and mares, carrying a purse of $1 million guaranteed and drawing 18 pre-entrants, will be the first Breeders' Cup race of the day on Saturday. Remember, Saturday post time for Breeders' Cup Day is 10:30 Eastern. This will be the third race on the program, the first of the Breeders' Cup races, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. We start with Anonymity. Shallon. Qualifying on points, Dream Tree. Also qualifying on points, Finley's Lucky Charm. Win and You're In pre-entrant, Golden Mischief, who captured the Thoroughbred Club of America for Judmont Farms. Connections hoping Lightning Strikes Twice, Chester Broman and Mary Broman's Highway Star. Kirby's Penny. Win and You're In pre-entrant, Marley's Freedom, winner of her last four, including three graded stakes, the most recent of these, the Ballerina, back in August. Qualifying on points, Mia Mischief, Miss Sunset, Selcourt, Shamrock Rose, and qualifying on points, Sky Diamonds, Win and You're In, Princess Rooney winner, Stormy Embrace, also for Kathleen O'Connell. Now, in order of preference, by the committee, not selected into the field, number 15, Mopetism, 16, Happy Like a Fool, 17, Dream Pauline, and 18, Bixby Lou. Mopetism has first preference in the distaff. Happy Like a Fool has first preference in the sprint. Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint won last year by Stormy Liberal. We'll try to make a repeat here for Peter Miller and Rockingham Ranch. The Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, 5.5 furlongs on the turf, carrying a guaranteed purse of $1 million. Field will be limited to 14 plus two also eligibles. It drew 20 pre-entrance. We start with the points earner Buchero for Iron Horse Racing Stable, fourth in the race last year, beaten just a length, most recently successful in the Woodford. Chantaline, Conquest Tsunami, who qualified on points earned. Winning Your In qualifier, Disco Partner, for Christophe Clamott. Patricia Generazia was third in the race last year. He, of course, captured the Belmont Turf Sprint and the Jaipur this year. Winning Your In qualifier, Havana Gray. Henbury, Lost Treasure, Rainbow Air, Richard's Boy, Ruby Notion. Defending race champ, Stormy Liberal, qualified on points earned. Vision Perfect qualified on points earned, as did Will Call and World of Trouble. Now, not selected into the field, but listed in order of preference by the panel, number 15, Pay Any Price, number 16, Extravagant Kid, 17, Blind Ambition, 18, El Astronaut, 19, Insta Irma, and 20, B Squared. Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. We already did, so I'll let Joe take over from here.
Thank you, Caden. Continuing on with Saturday, the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. This race will start with 14, two on the also eligible list. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile is a one-mile race. Don't forget it is one turn here at Churchill Downs. Race carries a guaranteed purse of $1 million plus travel awards. And the horses pre-entered for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile are Earning His Way based on points, Awesome Slew, also based on points, Bravazo, a challenge winner, Catalina Cruiser, perfect four for four this year as Catalina Cruiser. City of Light earned his way in based on points, three graded stakes wins this year for him. Firenze Fire earning his way in based on points. Giant Expectations, Isotherm, Limousine Liberal, Lone Sailor, Promises Fulfilled, Seeking the Soul, earning his way in based on points, Seven Trumpets, Churchill Downs Racing Club's Warriors Club, and Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, Whitmore. Not selected into the field, but listed in order of preference by the Breeders' Cup panel, Trigger Warning, and DAC Attack. Several horses with preferences here. Frenzy Fire, second preference, Frenzy Fire, second preference in the sprint. We're talking about the first preferences here. Limousine Liberal, first preference in the sprint. Lone Sailor, first preference in the classic. Promises Fulfilled, first preference in the sprint. Seeking the Soul, first preference in the classic. Warriors Club, first preference in the sprint, and Whitmore, first preference in the sprint as well. A lot of horses with first preferences in the sprint that are also entered in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. All right, next up, we have the Maker's Mark Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. This race has 14 to start with two also eligibles on the program. The Maker's Mark Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf is a 1 3/8 race for females on the turf, older females 3 and up. Race carries a guaranteed purse of $2 million and travel awards, of course, included. And the horses pre-entered are Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, A Raving Beauty, Athena, Azira, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, 4 Stars Crook, Magic Wand, Magical, Moms on Strike, based on points, Paved, Princess Yeza, based on points, Santa Monica, Sister Charlie, a Breeders' Cup Challenge winner. Chad Brown with 5 horses pre-entered in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. Won this race 3 times, tied for the most ever with Sir Michael Stout. Sister Charlie just one of his. Smart Choice, also earning the way in based on being a Breeders' Cup Challenge winner. Tice, and another Breeders' Cup Challenge winner in Wild Illusion. Not selected in the field and listed in order of preference. There's just one on this list, and it's Furiously Kissed. Magical has a first preference in the Breeders' Cup Turf. Let's take a look next at the Twin Spires Breeders' Cup Sprint. In this race, we have 14 to start with 2 also eligibles on the program. Breeders' Cup Sprint is a 6-furlong race for 3-year-olds and up. The Twin Spires Breeders' Cup Sprint carries a purse of $2 million, including travel awards, and the horses pre-entered are Always Sunshine, Distinctive B, Firenze Fire, Happy Like a Fool, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Imperial Hint, who was the runner-up in this race last year, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner Limousine Liberal, horse for course. He's won 6 of 8 lifetime starts at Churchill Downs. Mind Your Biscuits, earning his way in based on points, Mr. Crow. Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, Promises Fulfilled. Breeders' Cup Challenge winner and defending champion, Roy H. 7 Trumpets, earning his way in based on points, Warriors Club, and also Whitmore and XY Jet. Not selected into the field, but listed in order of preference by the committee. And just one horse on this list, and it is B Squared. Firenze Fire has first preference in the Dirt Mile. Mind Your Biscuits has first preference in the Classic. 7 Trumpets has first preference in the Dirt Mile. B Squared has first preference in the Turf Sprint. I will turn it back over to Caton Bradar for the Breeders' Cup Mile. Caton.
Breeders' Cup Mile is a 1-mile race for 3-year-olds and up on the turf with a guaranteed purse of $2 million. We had 21 pre-entered. A Raving Beauty. Analyze It, qualified based on points. Catapult, qualified based on points. Expert Eye. Gustav Klimt. Happily. Breeders' Cup Championship winner, Hunt. Or Breeders' Cup win and you're in race winner of the Shoemaker Mile for Phil D'Amato. I Can Fly. Win and you're in qualifier Lightning Spear. Also, winner Next Shares. One Master. Breeders' Cup qualifier Oscar Performance won the 2016 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Is a 4-time Grade 1 winner, including most recently the Woodbine Mile. Polly Dream, qualifying based on points, Sharp Samurai. Not selected into the field, but listed in order of preference, number 15, Mustachri, El Minar. 17, Divisadero. 18, Clemmy. 19, Kerban. 20, Great Wide Open. And 21, Hembry. A Raving Beauty has first preference in the Filly and Mare Turf. Hembry has first preference in the Turf Sprint. The 9th race on Saturday, Proxima Post of 416 will be the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff. Won last year by Forever Unbridled, but Abel Tasman looking to get some revenge to avenge that defeat last year. The Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff Grade 1 is a mile and an eighth for fillies and mares with a guaranteed purse of $2 million. Horses pre-entered are Abel Tasman, second last year, 8 for 15 lifetime, 6 Grade 1 wins, including the Phipps and the Personal Ensign. Win and you're in qualifier, blue prize for the Mirabelle Stables. Champagne Problems. Furiously Kissed. La Force. Moved up to Grade 1 victory in the Cotillion via disqualification, Midnight Bizou. Disqualification of Monomoy Girl, who was otherwise perfect this year. 5 for 6 this year with wins including the Ashland, the Kentucky Oaks, the Acorn, and the coaching club American Oaks, Monomoy Girl. Moppetism. Win in your in qualifier, Val Dory. Verve's Tail. Wonder Gadot. Wow Cat. Total entries in that race, 12. Furiously Kissed does have first preference in the filly and mare turf. And the Longines Breeders' Cup turf with the connections of Talismanic hoping for a repeat. 15 pre-entered. The field limited to 14 plus one also eligible. Mile and a half race for three-year-olds and up on the turf, Grade 1. Guaranteed purse of $4 million. Pre-entries are Arklow. Win and you're in qualifier, Channel Maker, who captured the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. Crystal Ocean. Two-time ARC winner, the great filly Enable. Glorious Empire, a win and you're in qualifier. Qualifying on points earned in graded stakes, High Happy. The Irish bred Hunting Horn. The filly Magical. Quarteto de Cordas, win and you're in qualifier. Win and you're in qualifier, Roaring Lion, four-time Grade 1 winner for Qatar Racing. Winner of the Arlington Million, a win and you're in, Robert Bruce. Saddler's Joy, who qualified on points earned in graded stakes. Last year's winner for Godolphin, Talismanic. And Waltgeist. And not selected into the field, number 15, Liam the Charmer. Roaring Lion has first preference in the Classic. The only other horse cross-entered was Magical. She has second preference in the filly and mare turf. And now for the biggie.
The Caton Breeders' Cup Classic is up next. $6 million is the purse plus travel awards. Mile and a quarter for three-year-olds and up. We have 14 in the body with two also eligibles on the program. And let's take a look at the pre-entries for the Breeders' Cup Classic. And we'll start with the likely favorite, Accelerate. Breeders' Cup win and you're in. Accelerate is 5 for 6 this year with 4 grade ones this year alone on his resume. Earning his way in based on points, Axelrod, Catholic Boy, City of Light, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, Discreet Lover. Earning his way in based on points, Lone Sailor. Also based on points, McKenzie. Mendelssohn, who was the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf winner last year. His half-sister, Beholder, is a three-time Breeders' Cup winner. Minor Biscuits earned his way in based on points. Pavel, Breeders' Cup Challenge winner, Pavel. Roaring Lion, Thunder Snow, West Coast, and Yoshida. Not selected into the field and listed in order of preference based on the Breeders' Cup Committee, Bravazo, Gunavera, Seeking the Soul, under the Clark Handicap right here at Churchill, Collected, Toast of New York. Some preferences, City of Light has first preference in the Dirt Mile, and Bravazo also has first preference in the Dirt Mile. And that's going to wrap it up, Caton. We've gotten through all the races. Now it's time to let the serious handicapping begin. We thank you for joining us on the Breeders' Cup Pre-Entry Show. Congratulations to all the participants just for making it this far. Good vibes for a safe trip and a positive run in your respective races.